And welcome back to PNPnetwork.com. I'm Mark Spender. Today, our guest is Mimi Kennedy. We had her on earlier this year. She is, of course, one of the stars of Dahmer and Greg on ABC. She plays Abby, and she's in her third season on that particular role. But she also has a great book out. It's called Taken to the Stage, The Education of an Actress. And, of course, education is really a key word when you're talking about actresses. People may be born an actress, but they have to learn the craft and learn the biz. Hi, Mimi. How are you?
I'm fine, Mark. How are you?
Good. Nice to talk to you again.
Thanks.
We get to talk twice in a year. That's pretty good.
It's a relationship.
Yeah, my wife's getting a little suspicious about this whole thing.
Twice a year.
Yeah. Now, tell us a little bit about the role on Dahmer and Greg. That show's really taken off, doing quite well, huh?
It sure is. Yeah, it's fabulous to be on a hit show. I've had a long career, which is why I wrote a book about it. Not that it's been that visible, but I do know a lot about this business, and I must say that being on a hit, it takes so many aspects to go right, and we are in TV heaven, in a way. Wonderful group of writers and a really skilled group of actors and wonderful stars in Jenna and Thomas.
Yeah, I would assume that between the writing and the two stars, that's really the key to a success, right?
That's really it. And, you know, just the name Dahmer and Greg, Dahmer actually means law of the universe. And even though I play this, you know, hippie woman and my husband is, we do attempt to marry in an upcoming episode. But what we do is come closer to a monogamous commitment. But anyway, as old hippies, you know, people think, oh, well, that was a hedonistic age and it was wild, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. But the interesting thing is we named our child Dharma, Law of the Universe. So, I think there's something to the success of the show that has to do with living joyfully, but, you know, within the limits of being human.
Now, you've been on a ton of shows.
A ton.
I mean, I'm looking at your resume here, and there's a ton of them. Most of them weren't huge hits.
No. A lot of critical success. Wonderful reviews. My mother, God rest her soul, kept them all for me, so I get to look at them once in a while in the scrapbook she kept. And beautifully reviewed shows, and often called this is a hit, this is a confection, this is fabulous. And network politics being what they were in the late 70s and early 80s, which incidentally is a time when network viewership began to decline, they didn't pay much attention to critical success alone. They were looking at a lot of other factors. And I was a popular actress, so I was used in a lot of pilots and a lot of shows, but often not the ones that were foregone conclusions to be hits. That was a difficult and disappointing thing for me, and I kind of figured out later what was happening, but at the time I just wanted to work.
But, you know, it's interesting, though. Mimi, it is interesting that you did work on a very successful series in front of the camera as guest star, but also behind the cameras as a writer and story editor for Knots Landing.
Yes, that was a wonderful thing that happened because of friendship with a couple whose boy was good friends with my son. And my husband teaches at the school where the kids both go. So I became friends with this couple, and they admired my acting. Wondered why I wasn't doing it much anymore, and I said, well, you know, I'm being a mother, and it's kind of hard to audition and do the whole career thing if you're not hot, hot, hot while you're trying to raise two kids. So they said, well, look, we have an opening on Knots Landing for writing, and would you be interested in coming in and doing that? Because they had seen a play I'd written and liked it. It was supposed to be a temporary job filling in for someone who was going through a family crisis, but it became permanent for a year. And I learned about story editing and writing for television and what the actors look like to the writing staff, which is a very interesting point of view on my profession.
Mm-hmm.
And another reason why I wrote the book, because I suddenly had a lot more information about the politics of where the actors is working when they're working in television, weekly television.
There's no doubt about it. If you just are acting and you've never been on the other side of the camera, or you haven't been a writer or an editor or a producer or a director, you only have a one-dimensional picture of the business.
Yeah, and I do think, too, I mean, we're talking about the 70s and 80s, which, though it doesn't seem a long time ago now, well, actually, that's all relative, but there's been an explosion of information since, I think, for young people, and they're entering show business with much clearer vision than I did. But we actors tend to be a little egocentric, I'm sure. Anyone who knows any actors have noticed that. But so we tend to think the universe revolves around us naturally, and we need very good teachers and guides to show us how not only is this not true, but to think it is harmful to what you want to do in your life, which is have an acting career in which you participate in stories that really help people understand life.
Mm. Are you doing, I know you're writing, obviously you've written a book, but are you still writing any TV stuff, movie stuff, or anything like that?
And I'm writing a novel. I'm following up my autobiography with a novel. What was left out of my book was a whole chapter, actually, about politics and my political education, which took place during the 60s, which was a really polarized time in America, and I very much went to being a pacifist and against war, and the idea of world peace is something that I think really will come into its own in this next century and millennium. But anyway, that had to be left out of the actress book because, as the publisher said, this is really about you as an actress. I'm still sorry it got left out. It was a great chapter, but that part of my life and that education has evolved into a novel that covers a 20-year span with three young women. And that's what I'm working on now. So it requires a lot of research, and it's going slowly, but I'm really excited about it.
When you talk about politics, there's national politics, regional politics, and the politics we all have, whether we're in a play or a movie or in an office building.
Exactly. It's really, politics has taken on the aspect of kind of a dirty word, and we wish we could get rid of it. But you're right, it comes from poly means people, and it's how people relate to each other in relationships of power. And something that I've noticed is, you know how the Victorians refused to believe there was such a thing as sex, and they wouldn't talk about sex, and they didn't want images of sex, and yet people were behaving in very destructive ways sexually during the Victorian era. You know, marriages kind of went cold, and mistresses were considered to be de rigueur, and children were raised to be kind of neurotic, and it was a kind of a naive time. And I now think we're there with power, is we say power is dirty somehow, and we try to pretend that we've all got it, and we don't. Usually in most relationships, somebody is really kind of running it, and somebody else is following. There's leaders and followers, and that changes. You're not always the leader, and you're not always the follower. But it's good to be clear about what is trying to be accomplished. To me, that's politics. What are we trying to accomplish? What is the role we're playing, and to whom do we give the power to kind of coordinate the effort?
Talking about Mimi Kennedy, the book is called Taken to the Stage, and it's published by, I'm not really familiar with the publisher.
Nathan Krauss is a drama books publisher. In fact, when you go looking for the book in Barnes & Noble or Borders or any bookstore, really, you want to go to the drama section. I've been confused, and many people have told me they are, when they go to entertainment biography and expect to find it there, or new biography. But it was published by a drama book publisher, so its number and its classification will be in the drama books, where you'll find books about acting by Sanford Meisner or Uta Hagen, and there will be my autobiography.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about your earliest part of your career, which I think is fascinating. Your first professional role was opposed to Sid Caesar.
Opposed is a good term in this case.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about working with that guy.
Oh, my gosh. I'll preface it by saying that we're friends now, and he is very dear to me. In his own book, he called that summer 1972 the summer of his nervous breakdown. Well, none of us really, I didn't know it, certainly. I was very young. It was my first professional job, and I got it on kind of a not a fluke, but I lied about my age. I was terrified. I put on high heels and falsies, and I was playing a woman in her 40s, you know, and I was very young. I wasn't 21, but I was in my mid-20s. And everyone in the play that had been doing it previously, the woman playing my role had dropped out for some reason, so I was a replacement, couldn't believe that I had just begun and that I had gotten this job. And Sid recognized that I had talent, but he knew it was inconsistent and that I didn't really have an acting technique and didn't know how I was giving a good performance night after night after night. And I did a lot of very bad actor habits. I took too long to deliver jokes. I hit jokes too hard. It was audience pleasing, and I got my laughs, but Sid was grinding his teeth some of the time. And at the, but he did enjoy playing with me because there was talent cooking on stage. At the end, he said, go to acting school. And I did, and I learned my technique from Kurt Dempster, which was the Sanford Meisner technique, kind of based on actor studio, but taken a step further. And I met Sid when I was doing a TV show, and he came on as a guest star, and it was a comedy variety show. He wanted to do all his sketches with me. He was dear. He put me in everything that they were writing for him. He said, I want to work with this woman. And we really, really had a ball. And then I had more craft and could really meet the challenge of working more equally with Sid.
You know, I've talked to a lot of people in the business, and many say that, you know, you should go to a studio like Strasburg's or some of these other studios that are around. Others say that it's really not necessary to study acting because you're going to learn on the job. What's your opinion on that?
I don't believe it, and particularly in television. Learning on the job is you're spending $10,000 an hour or some astronomical amount, and you have crew members, you have cameramen are trying to catch you up when you don't hit your mark. You have people sighing when you're exploring your motivation in the middle of a speech that you should have done that homework in your dressing room if you had a technique. And you have fellow actors. You know, you want to arrive in a company of fellow actors on a level where you really can give and take with them. If you're concentrating on how am I doing, you know, am I passing this exam with an A+? Is everybody looking at me and going, God, she's going to be marvelous, a great star? You're not playing with Mitchell Ryan or Alan Rachins or Jenna Elfman. You're not thinking about them. You're not thinking about the story. And so, to some degree, I really don't like it when I hear that, but I recognize the facts, and I know that some people do learn on the job, and then it's a matter of how astute you are, how much your antenna are out, how intuitive you are about other people's feelings and thoughts, because it's a collaborative effort when you're acting, unless it's a one-man or one-woman show.
I think that's true, and it's interesting to note that some of the people I've talked to who are younger, who worked with older folks who had been established, they said that many of the older folks just looked down at them unless they were really well-trained in a classical sense.
Yeah. You know, I think that happens, and it's because older actors have been some of those people sighing and stamping their feet, while someone who's young takes half an hour to go through a process that, you know, if you have an acting technique, it takes you 2 seconds to figure out how you're going to say this line or what's going on in the scene. Also, we watch untrained actors try to figure out everything for themselves, whereas if they just took the cues from their fellow actors in a creative way, the scene would take shape by itself. In other words, the actor, again, we are egocentric and we tend to think it all depends on us. But so much work has gone into writing a script before we ever arrive at, in a way where we're the frosting on the cake, an enjoyable role to be sure. We don't have to cook the whole cake. There have been writers and producers, and there's a cameraman. And of course, we're talking about television exclusively. I am here, and film, and stage is something different where you have a longer rehearsal process. There you need a whole other set of chops, which is good projection, discipline of your body to embody physically your character and stuff. But, you know, there is a gift. There is an intuition. There is something special in someone who is born to act. But it becomes a heck of a lot more special and usable, and will go further once it's trained.
We're talking with Mimi Kennedy. The book, again, is called Taken to the Stage, The Education of an Actress by Smith and Krause. It's a couple of questions I wanted to ask you. One was about your childhood. You were raised in a Catholic home, and many times strict homes like that don't appreciate acting as a profession. Were your parents encouraging you in this direction?
Well, yeah, it was funny. I come from a very kind of liberal Catholic home at the time in the 50s and 60s. My father had a, secular education. He'd gone to Hamilton College and Harvard and the Ivy League. And my mother was from New York City, and her college education had been interrupted because they didn't have enough money to keep sending her, but she was very smart. And then she went and was a model to earn money. So they had a veneer of sophistication that was really fun to be their kid. There were four siblings, and we had a really fun family life. We were strict Catholics, and I'm very grateful for that, and I love the Catholic Church. But one of the things that went along with that at the time was a narrow view of what was good culturally. And we used to throw ice balls at Protestants. I mean, we thought, like, it was like Belfast, Northern Ireland. We so identified ourselves as Catholics that anything less or other was, strange gods before me. I had to be rid of it. And I am sorry that that was ever part of my education. And I am extremely grateful that the 60s happened and helped me out of it. I think tolerance is one of the most important things to learn in our world right now, and something that show business actually can teach very well, because actors need to get along of all types and get past jealousy and envy and everything. I guess I'm not really answering your question, but in short, to be an Orthodox practitioner of any religion can give you a beautiful relationship with God and your fellow man, but often I think we need to watch out for the sense that we're having such a wonderful relationship with our God and our fellow man through our religion, that it's the only way to be.
Hmm.
And going along with that, I was attracted to the stage because, as I say, the Baltimore Catechism, which I learned from, made real life seem very dangerous. Anything I did pretty much was going to send me to hell. So I figured if I lived on stage and loved on stage and murdered on stage and did all these passionate things, it didn't really count. So I could live and yet preserve my soul untainted in my real life and get directly to heaven. That was a very girlish, childish notion I had, but there was something in it that I see still today in the world, and that is a fear of living and a fear, a wish to get out of this world and straight to heaven where God is and where we belong. And in becoming a mother, particularly in co-creating with God and my husband, new people, I've learned that this is the place, kingdom come, and coming to earth is where God wants to be. And that's our job, to make this place hospitable for the spirit. So the other thing I learned in my life is the emphasis on other places and places that aren't earth changed for me. And I think must change for humanity to where we are. And show business can be part of that. It's ritual, it's theater, it's part of human life. But it's not a better or lighter or holier place to be.
And one last question before I let you go, Mimi. You have a new movie coming out shortly called Erin Brockovich.
Yeah, I hope I do. There's the cutting room floor. I played a victim in a cancer cluster here in California, based on a true story. Julia Roberts plays a lawyer's assistant. Albert Finney plays a lawyer. And they uncovered a case of terrible pollution of the water in a community where a lot of people got very sick. And I play one of the sick people. And Steven Soderbergh, who's a wonderful director, had us improvising scenes. I mean, it was fabulous, improvising scenes with Julia Roberts. And I don't do that many films. However, as much as he let us go on, I don't really know what will be in the movie, but it was a fabulous experience.
What was Julia like to work with?
I beg your pardon?
What was Julia like to work with?
She's amazing. I think she's a great film actress, and when she walks into that scene and that camera starts rolling and those liquid brown eyes are looking at you, there is a soul right there behind those eyes, and she's listening, and she's going to respond, and there's something, wonderfully wonderful being created there that looks like reality when you watch the film, which is what it is, an actor's job. She's very, I think, very sane at this point, having gone through some difficult times as a young actress, of really being an icon and a goddess and every move being watched. And now she has a great sense of humor about herself and a wonderful discipline about where her boundaries are. But, boy, when you're acting with her, those boundaries are down, and she gives something very, very good on screen, I think.
Well, Mimi, I want to wish you a lot of luck with Dahmer and Greg, continued success on that, and with the book, Taken to the Stage, The Education of an Actress, from Smith and Krause. And look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Mark.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.